I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for this 61st edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Abdul Rahman Khani. He is the eldest of nine children, originally from Kabul, Afghanistan, and has been here in Maine for a year and a half with his wife and their three young children. Abdul was attending university, and his plan was to continue to study medicine, but his excellent English skills led him to work as a translator with ISAF, a multinational force helping to establish security in Afghanistan. Abdul, it is such a pleasure to have you in the studio today.
Yeah,
welcome to New Mainers Speak.
Thank you.
Pleasure, and today's a good day to be in the studio. Because it's rainy.
Yes.
I'm not missing much on this Sunday. So let's start in Afghanistan, a country of 31 million people in Central and South Asia, bordered by Pakistan, Iran, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and China.
Yeah.
When you think back to your life in Afghanistan, what are you most likely to miss about your home country?
You know, when one is born in a country and that person is part of that country and is raised in that country, it is obvious that that person has a lot of ties, like family ties, friendships, everything is there. So I mostly miss my family environment, my family, especially my parents and siblings, and my close friends, my relatives, my classmates. Because I live a long life there, almost 30 plus years, and I have a lot of connections, and I miss all those wonderful people that I made them as a friend or, you know, classmates or close relatives. So that is the most that I miss about my country.
And they're really far away distance-wise, but they're also far away in that culturally it's such a different world here. How do you stay connected to them?
Likely with the technology that we have in this world now, it makes it easier for us to stay connected most of the time. And as you say that we are distant, you know, there is a long distance, but we can still see each other using, you know, different technology that we have, and also we can hear each other's voice very often. So that alleviates some of the pressure that we may have being away from the family.
And yet your mom just called to say she misses you.
Yeah.
She right did. Before we went on. I love that.
Yeah.
Mothers are universally people who like to hear from their children.
Yes.
So can you describe day might have looked like as a child growing up in Kabul?
You know, life back there and back then when I was a child was a little easier compared to now, because nowadays there are a lot of issues like security, a lot of other issues that I can't name all of them right now in this time of the moment. But when I was a child, at least we had, relatively good security in the capital, even though there were, you know, wars going on in other parts of the country. And also my father was a police officer, and he was paid well, and we had relatively a good life. And as a child, I would go to school, come back home, study, and also do my homework. And I wasn't worried much about family responsibility because I was a child. But as I grew, as the oldest, sibling of the family, I had a lot of responsibilities, and I had to take care of a lot of the stuff and stuff and help my father shoulder to shoulder.
You were saying earlier that you would carry water even as a very little boy, the 15 minutes up the hill to your home.
Yes, yes, that was so interesting when I compare it to my life now, because I couldn't imagine it, but I did it. As I said, there was a big mountain, and in the center of the city, and we were right in the middle, and it would. It was almost 15 to 20 minutes walk, and I had to carry water in my little buckets from the water tap in the bottom of the mountain, and it would take me 15 to 20 minutes to walk uphill having those buckets on my shoulder to supply the family with water.
You were becoming strong in so many ways, even from a young age.
Yeah.
Taking care of the whole group. Have you gotten a sense about what most Americans think of when they hear the word Afghanistan, and you say, I'm from Afghanistan? What are they thinking?
The reactions are different. People that they know Afghanistan, and they have met people from Afghanistan, they know what kind of people are Afghans or what type of country is Afghanistan. So their reaction is normal, and they would, chat with me, and they would be so happy to meet and hear from me. But people that they have never seen an Afghan and have never met Afghanistan and haven't heard about Afghanistan, the only thing that they heard is on media that, oh, Afghanistan is like, center of, terrorist activities, or, center of, people where all bad things happen. So they think differently, and their reaction is a little different. And by asking and engaging in conversation, those misconceptions that they have about Afghanistan is, relieved and removed. And then they, their thoughts change after having conversation with me. But yeah, reactions are different, but mostly hearing about me, that I work there, and I'm here now with my family. So they are, most of them are, they have friendly reactions, and they are not like, ooh, I don't want to talk to you because you're from there, and I haven't seen any negative reaction.
Well, you're very easy to talk to, and your English skills are fabulous, so it makes it easy to make a connection with you as well.
Maybe that is part of that.
I think you're a good ambassador for Afghanistan.
Thank you.
What do you wish all Mainers might come to understand about Afghanistan? I certainly learned a lot about it as I was preparing for this, and I thought, boy, your reality of Afghanistan and my knowledge of it are quite different. And what would you wish we knew about your country?
I wish, most Americans or Mainers specifically knew about the people of Afghanistan, that how hospitable these people are and how friendly these people are. And I wish they could visit Afghanistan and see and enjoy the monuments that we have there, and historical sites that we have there. And they are like thousands and thousands of years old historical sites that they are worth visiting and seeing. But unfortunately, the current situation and issues have made it difficult even for Afghan citizens to see those historical sites, let alone foreigners, and specifically Americans, that they are in the mind of people they have different image, but they are not bad people. They are very good and nice people. So that is what I wish for Mainers specifically, and for Americans as a general. That if they could meet and see Afghanistan and meet Afghans from near, their thoughts would have definitely changed after visiting that country.
It is really an ancient civilization. And it was compared a lot to having equal monuments to Egypt in age and in number. So many sites to see in Afghanistan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also learned about Afghanistan being the chief producer of pomegranates for the area.
Yeah, Afghanistan's pomegranate is well known across the region and even and most of the countries, like in Europe, I've heard that the pomegranate is exported there, and it is totally different from what I've seen and eaten here.
They're not American pomegranates.
So they are different, and they're good. They're excellent. Yes.
What are some of your early impressions of Maine and the United States? You've been here just for a year and a half, so you're still new enough to be being surprised sometimes.
To me, it was really natural because I was in the environment of English-speaking people, you know, Americans, and so I learned about the culture here, and I learned about the societies here. But it was a little shocking for my family, for my wife, what I was told back then in Afghanistan by some Americans, it was totally, you know, proved otherwise. Because I was told that, oh, you will see some Americans that they will look at you, and because of your black hair, they will look at you and they will, use some words that they are not, that you will not, you know, like them, and they will hate you because of this or that. But I've been here for a year and a half now, and more than that almost. But I haven't seen a single individual to do that to me. Instead, I received a warm welcome and a great support and a lot of attention, and not only to my family, but to myself. And it's not only support to provide this or that. It is at early level that they provided support. And look at me, I'm in school today, and it's because of these people in this community. And I wouldn't be able to do that, and I wouldn't be able to continue my education if I did not have that great support from this community and people.
That's lovely. I'm glad you have not met with unpleasant comments, and that you're being warmly received. Is there anything that has surprised you? Our weather, our grocery stores, any cultural differences?
The weather surprised me a little. We do have cold weather and sometimes a lot of snow back in Afghanistan, but we didn't, and we haven't had this much snow or cold weather. So that is a little unusual and different. And the roads are, they are, amazing. We don't have such good roads back there, and usually when I sometimes I travel on highways, the way that they are, the bridges are built, the way that we have these exits, they are like unusual, and they are like shocking to me, like, wow, look at these roads.
When I looked at pictures of Kabul, most of everything is dirt roads with a few paved streets with a gutter.
Yes.
And I thought, wow, those are really different.
Totally different. And they're, when you see them from near, they will be even, you will see them even differently, because on pictures, you just see a picture, but when you're physically there, you will see the difference between here and there.
Which is great big.
Yeah.
I saw so many adobe houses built up into the mountains, and I asked Abdul if they all had running water, and he said, no.
Zero.
Life without running water is even hard to imagine for me at this point. I've camped, but
yeah.
And I always come back and I'm amazed by the running water after a week of camping. But that must be a novelty as well.
Yeah, that is the way life is there, and people are used to that. And even myself, I'm living here now, I have running water and everything, but I lived most of my life in that condition, and I can imagine how tough is that type of life.
Mm-hmm. So you are listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak, If you're just joining us, welcome. My guest today is Abdulrahman Khani, who came to Maine from Kabul, Afghanistan, a year and a half ago. He was in 11th grade when he realized he wanted to study medicine. He was studying to be an ear, nose, throat doctor when the course of his career was interrupted, and he is now on the brink of resuming that study. I'm curious about what you're going to do next. Maybe we could start there.
Yeah. Currently, I am enrolled at the University of New England's Physician Assistant Program, which is a Master of Science program. And I just started that last week. And this is, you know, tomorrow will be my second week. And I'm so excited about it. And I'm happy to be part of that program. And that is a 2-year program, and it will provide me with the, you know, it will help me to get into the medical system here and be part of the medical society in the United States, even not as a doctor, but at least, you know, as a PA, as a physician assistant, and be part of this medical community. And I'm so excited about it.
That's very exciting. Did you meet Malwal Mabur?
I did. Yeah.
He was a guest on New Mainer Speak, who's also a physician from another country of Sudan, who came to the same conclusion to go to this physician's assistant program. Were there any other immigrants in your group?
No, we are, you know, myself and Malwal are the only two people.
Well, that's great that you have each other.
Yeah.
That will surely expand the education for everyone in the group,
mm-hmm.
as diversity tends to do, mm-hmm. right? So what is it about medicine that pulled you in that direction, that made you want to go into medicine in the first place?
You know, Afghanistan is a deprived country. All of the services are very at a basic, and even in some places there is no services. And that's, number one factor that played a role in my future goals as what I would do to serve my country best. And as you know, that if one wants to do something, if that is an education, if that is, you know, a business, or if that is a different thing, you know, first that person wants to benefit himself or herself from that decision, or from the outcome of that decision. Secondly, the people in the community where that person is living, and the entire country, and as a whole, the entire humanity. So that was my intention, to be able to set as an example for my family, because I was the oldest, and also be able to serve my family and my community the best way possible, and could use the knowledge that I have, or I had, or I will have, to the benefit of my people, my country, and my family. So that was the driving force of my decision to go into this profession.
More of a calling, and then something that fit across the board.
Yeah.
And how did your education get interrupted? Can you tell us about how far along you were in your studies before you started doing something else?
I actually graduated from the medical school in Afghanistan, from Kabul Medical University. It is a well-known and prestigious university in the country. I graduated from the medical school in 2004. I completed my medical school back then and started to work. I then started my residency program in ear, nose, and throat. I was supposed to complete that in 4 years, but I only did it for 3 months. And before that, I was head of an Afghan government run clinic for 9 months. So I practiced medicine for 1 year after my graduation from medical school, but because of some issues, especially financial issues, that I had back then, I was unable to continue my residency program, and I stopped working there. And I was working actually two jobs. I was doing my residency and working as a night shift employee for ISAF, but I couldn't continue both, so I had to decide to stop one or the other. And I came to the conclusion that because of my financial problems, I had to stop my residency program. And that's where I decided to stop working as a resident in the hospital.
So for listeners, ISAF, I-S-A-F, is International Security Assistance Force, which is a very large presence in Afghanistan, not necessarily letters we toss around here. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about what the purpose of ISAF was and what you did for them?
ISAF, as you said, as the name explains it, is, it was an international security assistance force, and they were helping the Afghan security forces to provide security in the country. I was working as a medical translator for that force, and helping in translation of medical materials from English into Pashto or Dari or vice versa. So that was my role.
I didn't understand that fully before. I'm glad to get that clarification. So can you tell us about how you came to the conclusion that physician's assistance would be a goal of yours here? Because I would think that a doctor from another country would want to be a doctor here as well.
Yes, I wanted to be a doctor here, but there were a few reasons that I decided not to be. Since I was graduated back in 2004, and there was a long gap between my graduation and now, it is almost 11 years now. And that gap would look bad when I applied for the residency program here, and that was like negative on my medical practice background, and I didn't have that much of that, and that would hold me from going into the residency program. So that was number one. And number two, to be a licensed doctor here in the U.S., you have to, as a foreign graduate, foreign medical graduate, you have to take USMLE, United States Medical Licensing Examination, Step 1, 2, and 3, to be recertified. And again, you have to do a residency. So taking those USMLE steps would at least take me 3 years. Minimum. And after taking the USMLE steps, even if I passed and if I didn't get into residency, that would mean nothing. And plus, I have family responsibility. I have three children. I have wife to support, and it would be so long before I would be able to practice medicine here. Instead, I researched and I found out that, okay, this is a shortcut to get into the medical society, and I chose to go to the PA school, which is a two-year program, and after graduation, I will be able to practice after I take my, board examination and everything, and plus 1 year prerequisite, so that will be a total of 3 years. And that's, these are the two main reasons that I wanted to go for PA school.
You've really adapted to a very complicated system, and I'm very sorry that it's actually so hard in the United States to make that transition. Many qualified doctors come from all over the world and end up doing just what you're doing or some other modified, adapted use of their tools. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you're going to be in there, because I bet you're going to make a big difference in the lives of all the people you work with as a physician's assistant.
I hope so.
What's your best hope for a physician's assistant? Do you have a specialty? Would you still like to be in ear, nose, throat?
That is a little far away to decide, because next year, once we go into our second year, clinical rotation year, we will go to these different rotations, and then at the end we will have one rotation that we could that we could do one of these rotations that we have done during the year for the second time, and that will be our
specialty
or the field of work. And so I will decide once I go through the clinical rotation year, whether I'm going to stay at ENT or do something different.
Yeah, you never know. Sometimes you end up in a field you never expected because you have a fabulous mentor along the way.
Yes.
Or a sudden interest in something. Mm-hmm. That's great. I wish you luck with that.
Yeah, thank you.
What are your dreams for your life here in America, for yourself and your family?
My dream is to, you know, one day graduate as a PA and complete my education and start working in the medical field and serve my community here. And in the meantime, provide support to my children here and, you know, facilitate the ground for them to get the, you know, the highest possible education here and have a good and wonderful life and support the community here and the family. So this is my dream both for myself and my family and children.
And you had said before that your wife is studying English now and maybe has some hopes of nursing.
Yes, she's also, you know, willing to learn the language first and then get into some type of work, especially medical work, as you said, nursing, and she's willing to do that, but you will see.
It takes so much courage to put yourself out there day after day, trying the language out and really moving into a professional career from there is very ambitious.
Yes.
Do you have a wish for your home country of Afghanistan?
Yes, I wish my country, you know, I wish peace and security return to my country soon, and I wish my country becomes a safe and better place for the people there and also for us as the citizens of that country to one day return and you know, travel easily without any danger, and if possible even return back and stay close to my parents and sibling and relatives and friends. And that is my wish for my country.
More peace everywhere.
More peace, yes.
Abdul, you are calm, focused, and a very kind person. I can see how you would be easy to trust as a physician's assistant, and I wish you all the best in your studies. Thank you for your willingness to come on New Mainers Speak and share your experiences with us today.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity, and thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Abdul Rahman Khani. We will close today's program with a song he has chosen for us. Can you introduce us to your song that you've chosen?
I like my national anthem of the country, so I would like that to be heard on the air.
Great. I'm looking forward to playing it. Can you tell us a few words from it? They're all in Pashto.
Pashto. Mm-hmm. Pashto, Dari, and so one word is Afghanistan in it, so I don't remember all of it.
Okay.
I have to be honest.
Okay, this is Afghanistan's national anthem.